Magoo keeps it, cuts it through, and make it 7-for-7. Touchdown, Birmingham. Under pressure, throws on the run and finds Josh Johnson, and that's another Birmingham touchdown.
Williams
got towards the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Ishmael Hyman in Pittsburgh takes the lead.
From gotta have it, Perry. And that is deflected right there at the line in Pittsburgh. They're headed to the championship.
Welcome to USFL Game Plan, the USFL Championship Saturday edition. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris. Welcome to the show. 11 weeks have gone by, 42 games have been played. We've been whittled down to two, and today is the day. The Maulers of Pittsburgh and the Stallions of Birmingham meet their destiny tonight in Canton, Ohio, as these two teams lock horns for the second time this season, but this time to determine which of the two will hold the USFL Championship trophy aloft later on tonight at Tom Benson Stadium, Canton, Ohio. Joining me on the show today to talk about this big game one last time for the 2023 season is the Pro Football Newsroom's Luke Miller. Luke, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, always great to be here.
Let's get right into it, shall we? We've got the Stallions and we've got the Maulers, two teams that have taken two completely different paths to this championship game. Birmingham, of course, kind of rolling their way through the South Championship or to the South Championship. Only that one little misstep in the middle of the season. People seem to forget, Luke, that at the midway point of the season, the Birmingham Stallions were in third place.
They were 3-2. 5 games into the season, and a lot of people were unsure exactly what this team's kind of final outcome was going to be. Were they going to finish the season strong and kind of try and get back to where they were last year, or were they going to kind of sputter out and end up being an average or below average team? But obviously we see what happened with that.
Yeah, and including the playoff win last week, they're on a 6-game winning streak. Conversely, the Pittsburgh Maulers hadn't had a winning streak all season long entering the week 9 situation, still being alive for the playoffs. And lo and behold, here they are now having strung 3 wins together and hosting a championship game as division champs, Luke.
Yeah, it's impressive what they've been able to do coming down the backstretch of the season. Certainly, none of their games have been blowouts. You know, they've been in every game and kind of right there, but they just had a hard time sometimes closing the deal. But they closed it when it mattered, you know, last week in a playoff game, week prior in a must-win situation. And so they've certainly earned the opportunity to be in this championship game.
Let's talk about these teams. We'll begin with a look from the offensive perspective, and we'll begin at the key position, quarterback. You've got Troy Williams of the Maulers on one side, Alex Magoo on the other side for the Birmingham Stallions, two quarterbacks who were not the starters on opening night for either one of these teams.
That's true. Yeah, neither one started out the year as the guy for their respective team, but both, for different reasons, got an opportunity to come in and take over, and both really took it and ran with it. And so these guys have cemented themselves as the leader of their teams and their offenses. And they both, in their own ways, have done a great job and have played a big part in getting their teams to this point.
Absolutely. Magoo, of course, going to be, if he hasn't been named it already, the MVP of the league. And Troy Williams, to me, has been one of the great stories of the season. This guy didn't really start playing until week 3, week 4, getting a start, but has really grown over the last several weeks into, he's not blowing people away, but he has certainly found a way to develop chemistry with his wide receivers and use his legs when he needs to.
Yeah, you know, I was really impressed with his performance in the playoffs. The Maulers got out to a hot start. Their defense really did him some favors by creating some turnovers, but they allowed the Panthers to hang around and come back, and the game ended up going into overtime. And, you know, Williams really never flinched, never blinked. He continued to kind of hang in there, remain calm, remain composed, and was able to make some great throws to get his team across the finish line and to that playoff victory. So what he does as an athlete with his arm, with his legs, but also as a leader and sort of his intangibles that he brings to the table, I think is very important for this team and this offense.
Yeah, and leading right into the running game from there, Troy Williams was the leading rusher for this Pittsburgh team. So that's really a problem. Their running game has not gotten going. Whereas with the Stallions, the running game took a while to get going, where Alex Magoo was actually their leading rusher for a few weeks, but things kind of got right and CJ Marable ended up breaking the 500 yard mark for the season. So the Stallions, in addition to their passing game, have finally complemented that with a serviceable running game.
Yeah. You know, and their running game has just gotten better and better each week, and that's continued into the postseason. Last week, they had almost 200 or around 250 rushing yards, which is a really impressive number against a good defense in the New Orleans Breakers. And it was pretty much evenly split between three ball carriers, quarterback Alex Magoo, running back CJ Marable, and backup running back Ricky Person Jr. And so to kind of have a three-headed monster like that who collectively contributed about 250 yards and two touchdowns in a playoff game, that certainly is an impressive way to kind of round out an offense that at the beginning of the year wasn't super balanced, but now is really firing on all cylinders at the right time.
Groshek and London on the other side of the ball really need to contribute somewhere in the running game. Can't leave it all on the shoulders of Troy Williams. Wide receiving core, as far as the Stallions go, they've got one of the best as far as I'm concerned. They've got fast, speedy guys who have great chemistry with their quarterback, and they're always able to seem to be able to make a play, Luke.
Yeah, you know, I think both of these teams have really solid receiving cores, but the Stallions certainly, I think that's true of them. They've got Deion Kane kind of as the deep threat guy who scored 20 touchdowns in his career at Clemson. So it's clear what he can do on his big play potential. And then Davion Davis is sort of their slot guy and kind of been the number one receiver all year for them, produced almost 600 yards in the regular season, had a huge game in the playoffs, 75 yards, two touchdowns and only five catches. And so he looks to have a big game, had a big game the first time they played the Maulers. In addition to their receivers, they obviously have the best tight end of the league in Jay Sternberger, who has just been a touchdown machine all year, averaging almost a touchdown a game at this point. And so certainly always a threat to move the ball down the field and especially a big threat in the red zone.
And of course, for the Maulers, you've got guys like Isaiah Henney, who contributes also on the kick return game, but is a speedy wide receiver. Trey Walker has done a nice job this season. The addition of Ish Hyman in the middle of the year, unexpectedly cast off by Michigan and picked up by the Maulers, was an excellent addition, bringing experience, bringing size, and he has paid dividends for them since he has joined the team as well. Tight end has not been a great position of production for the Maulers. However, huge advantage there for the Birmingham Stallions. We're actually going to hear from Isaiah Henney in a little bit. As far as points production, Birmingham, of course, Luke, leading the league offensively in scoring, whereas the Maulers were near the bottom of the league table in points produced. But I will say this about the Maulers offense. Last week, for a team that has been patching together their final scores every week with a touchdown from the defense, a touchdown from special teams, and maybe a few field goals, last week they scored 31 points in a playoff game. No contributions from the special teams on a return or contribution on a score from the defense. So their offense has evolved a bit. It's not on the level of Birmingham, of course. There's a big difference between these two offenses, however, Luke.
Yes, there is. They're certainly both good offenses, but the Stallions offense right now is more than good. I mean, they're really great. And we saw that last week in the playoffs when they put up 47 points, kind of a modern USFL record in the postseason. And they were just couldn't really do anything wrong until a fumble on their eighth possession after scoring on seven consecutive possessions. So they're really playing on another level right now. The Maulers offense certainly has improved and is getting better. And the good news for them is they don't typically have to score a ton of points to win based on the way their defense plays. But they have been, I think, certainly kind of hitting a stride here late in the year. And as you mentioned, had a really good game last week, and they'll look to carry that momentum over into the championship.
While the Maulers were mostly known for their defense throughout the season, the offense has turned it up a notch over the last few weeks. And to talk about that and their improvement and their chances on Saturday night against the Birmingham Stallions, we bring in their all-world wide receiver, Mr. Isaiah Henney. Isaiah, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I feel good, man. I'm doing okay.
It's good to have you. It's been quite a ride for the Pittsburgh Maulers this season. First of all, Isaiah, talk about just how great does it feel to be in the championship game?
Oh, man, it's, you know, we put in perspective that, you know, over 75% of the league that came into the season, they're already at home. And so it's for us to be one of the last two teams, it feels good. You know, just Yeah, it feels good because championship, you know, and everyone gets to play in the championship. And so it's special.
This has got to be extra special for you because you joined the team last year around week five. So you were sort of an unknown commodity before you joined the Maulers, and you showed exactly what you can do over those last five games, making you an established guy heading into this regular season. So how good does that feel to have been there last year, helped kind of turn things around, even though the wins didn't come, and now here you are?
Man, it felt good just because, you know, people wait on shots and they wait on opportunities. And when you get the opportunity, it's, you know, it's always a blessing. And then I think we just have a core group of guys that just love football. And that's what you really want. You want people that aren't, you know, check chasing, that just love the game. You know, Coach Horton came in and really turned things around for us. And I mean, granted, we're not, you know, world beaters. We're not 9-1 or anything like that, but we are a gritty team. And that's all you can really ask. Football is a gritty sport. And so having a gritty team in a sport like this is always nice to have.
You're not 9-1, but you are 3-0 in the last 3 weeks. And that's really what matters right now, Isaiah. So now let's talk about, what does it mean to have a quarterback like Troy Williams develop over the course of the season and develop chemistry with you guys and grow? How much has that meant to the team being where it is right now?
No, it means a lot. It's just sometimes you just, it's tough because when you switch over quarterbacks and stuff like that, you go through a process of like, hey, okay, let's see where you are, where the ball is going to be and stuff like that. But I think the even bigger than him developing trust with the receivers was, you know, developing trust within the offensive coordinator and him kind of handing the keys over to Troy at times, especially with the head coach, because that's really, you kind of need somebody that's going to be a bridge between the OC and the coaches and then the players, and Troy's filled in that role perfectly. And that's kind of what's been the difference for us in the last couple of weeks.
Also talk about the addition of Ish Hyman to the room. I mean, surprisingly released by Michigan, latches on with you guys. Talk about what he brought and added to what you guys do as receivers.
You know what, he gives us the ability to do, we had a good group of receivers. I think at the end of it, it just adds a level of competition because everybody here is competing with each other as much as we're competing and trying to gel together to win. And so everybody can get used. We talk about it, like any person in that receiver room can make a play at any time. And I think he just adds to that. You've seen it. He could have a quiet game, or he can have a loud game or a loud moment, just like all five of us. And I think Ish, he fits in well. All the guys fit in, and that's what you could ask for. He's not selfish, and he's just a guy that wants to win like everybody else. So it's been special to have him.
You lost a tough game the last time out to Birmingham in week four on your home field in Canton, Ohio. Talk about what challenges their defense presents to you guys as you try to scheme to win this ball game.
You know what? I think that was Troy's second start in week four. And we're not even close to the same offense in terms of things that we do. What we like to get to, what we don't like to get to, in some of our sets, and I like, we're completely different teams. Even then, like we even on their team, I mean, we saw guys that we had on their offense and defense that we didn't see last time, and so we're completely different teams. I mean, that was almost 2 months ago, and so it's interesting when you kind of look at everything and be like, what's different? But yeah, nonetheless, they're a better team, we're a better team, and we're excited to go after it with them.
Looking forward to seeing exactly how you perform on Saturday night. And Isaiah, I wish you a lot of luck to you and the Maulers. Thanks for stopping by and joining us on USFL Game Plan today.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man. See you Saturday.
See you on Saturday in Canton, Ohio. Thanks. Isaiah Henney of the Pittsburgh Maulers joining us right here on USFL Game Plan. When USFL Game Plan returns, Luke and I will turn our attention to the defenses, and we'll also welcome linebacker Kaiava Tizino of the Pittsburgh Maulers. Then we'll make our predictions on the game. You're listening to USFL Game Plan on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. Welcome back to USFL Game Plan, brought to you by USFL Today on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fures, here along with Luke Miller of the Pro Football Newsroom, and we are getting you ready for the USFL Championship game, which takes place tonight in Canton, Ohio at 8 p.m. between the Birmingham Stallions and the Pittsburgh Maulers. We covered the offenses. Now let's talk about the defenses, which is the calling card of the Pittsburgh Maulers. They were the top defense in the league, Luke.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone was impressed with the defense that they brought to the table throughout this year. They really have no significant weaknesses. They've got a great defensive line, one of the best linebacking cores in the league, and a really fantastic secondary. Two of the four All-USFL secondary players for the All-USFL defense came from this team in cornerback Mark Gilbert and safety Arnold Tarpley. So you can't really say enough good things about their defense, and the Stallions certainly have their work cut out for them trying to keep that high-flying offense going against this top defense.
Yeah, this defense was the main reason, the sole reason why the Maulers were in just about every single game with about maybe one exception. And as the offense has finally rounded into shape here heading into the big game, I feel like now at least the defense can play knowing they have an offensive complement that can keep them in the game.
Absolutely. It's certainly one of the things that I think, and you know, we've kind of been hitting on this throughout the show, but part of the reason I think both of these teams have made it to this point is they're solid in all aspects of the game, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. They certainly have their own strengths and weaknesses, but none of them have major weaknesses on any aspect of the game. Defense is certainly the Mauler strength, but the Stallions defense is nothing to sort of laugh at either. And so the Maulers have made it to this point because their offense and defense have been able to work in tandem to be able to outscore opponents when they've needed to.
Yeah, the defense has even contributed with a few touchdowns during the course of the season. But let's talk about the linebackers first, guys like Kavaya Tizino and Reuben Foster. Of course, you're hard-pressed to find a better linebacker tandem than that.
No doubt. Reuben Foster, he's been a little banged up this year, but when he's been in there, he's looked about as good as we all expected him to. Stand out at Alabama in college and clearly still can play football. And Tizino, you know, not sure how he could have had a better year. Unfortunately, you know, you only can give a defensive player of the year award to one player, and that ended up going to Frank Ginda, who certainly deserved it. But Tizino, you know, you could make a strong case that he deserved it as well with the way that he played all throughout this season.
He might have been a little quieter than he was last year, at least under the radar, but Boogie Roberts had another excellent season as well for the Maulers, didn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. He's certainly a fan favorite for his, you know, shenanigans off the field and his commentary and humor, but he backs that up on the field too. He's not just all style with no substance. He had a really great year kind of plugging up gaps in the middle, getting to the quarterback, and making it possible for those linebackers to run around and make tackles and do what they do.
For the Stallions, their defense was not nearly as stellar as the Maulers was all season, but they probably had their best game of the year last week against New Orleans, Luke.
Yeah, you know, the Stallions' motto on defense has been bend but don't break. They gave up more yards per game than any other team in the league, which sounds pretty bad. But when you put with that the fact that their defense was the number three scoring defense in the league, only two defenses, the Maulers being one of them, gave up fewer points during the season, the picture becomes a little bit clearer. So teams have been able to move the ball down the field on them, but their calling card has really been red zone defense. They really stiffen up and get stout in the red zone, and they just haven't let teams, they might let them sniff the end zone, but they haven't let them get into it. And that's been a successful recipe for them.
The return of Scooby Wright doesn't hurt either, does it?
No, it certainly does not. The emotional leader really of the entire Stallions team, I think, along with quarterback Alex Magoo, certainly the leader of the defense. His presence has gone a long way, especially last week in that playoff game, to helping elevate the play of everybody on the Stallions defensive side of the ball. And they'll certainly lean on him to have a huge game in this USFL championship, just like he did last year in last year's championship.
Another guy to watch for who had a huge game last year in the USFL championship is Christian McFarland. And I expect him to come through again this year with another big game, Luke.
Absolutely. Stallions leading tackler started off the season with 12 tackles in their first game. He was their leading tackler with 7 this past week in the playoffs. He kind of does it all for them at safety. He helps cover things. He comes up and makes plays in the run game, and they're really going to need a big game out of him this week.
In the special teams category, you're going to be hard pressed to find two teams who do it better than either one of these, Luke.
You're absolutely right. Two excellent kickers, two excellent punters, and two of the teams with some of the best kickoff and punt return specialists in the league.
Each of these teams has done a very good job of shortening the field for their offenses, and each of these teams have run kicks back in games to help their teams. As a matter of fact, Birmingham did it against the Maulers in week 4 to pull out that 24-20 win, which was a great game, by the way.
Absolutely. That kickoff return by Deion Kane was really the deciding factor late in the fourth quarter.
And I certainly think it's possible that we could have a situation again in this championship game where it comes down to special teams play, whether that's a last-minute field goal, whether that's a kickoff or a punt return. Certainly, that's going to potentially be an X factor in this championship matchup.
And the Maulers as well are very good at returning kicks. Isaiah Henney is a speedster who's really hard to tackle.
Yes, him and Josh Simmons, both all USFL return specialists. So that tells you how successful they've been this year in setting up the Maulers with good field position or even just taking it back to the house and scoring points themselves.
Both teams with great kickers. Aubrey, of course, from Birmingham, did it consistently last year, did it again this year consistently. And Chris Blewett may have saved the Maulers' season. What a great pickup after week two for them.
Yeah, you know, they had some really terrible kicking woes to start the year, brought Blewett in, and he has been the guy for them. He has a huge leg. He's kicked multiple 50-yard field goals, fantastic kickoff specialist, and so he's a big part of what they've been able to do this year.
For the Maulers, their calling card for the 2023 season has been defense. They announced their presence on opening day against New Orleans and have not let up since. To join us to talk about the incredible defense and the season that the Maulers D has had, we bring on one of their top stars, linebacker Kavaya Tizino. Welcome to the show, Kavaya. How are you and congratulations?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We appreciate you taking time out of this busy championship week to speak with us a little bit. Kavaya, talk about, first of all, the kind of season that the Maulers have had on your side of the ball. Did you guys in training camp have an expectation that you were going to be this dominant all season?
Yeah, we pretty knew we were going to be pretty good just because we had pretty much everyone from last year come back. And then, you know, the defense is obviously we played in it last year, so we were kind of familiar with it. I think the biggest thing was is just our gel and our bond that we had created with each other. That kind of helped us, I think. And just, you know, everybody wanted to be good and, you know, make it to the championship. And obviously we set that as a team. We set that as a defense to go, and we accomplished it. So it's truly a blessing to be seeing that all work out.
Things have improved dramatically for you guys as a team overall. But before we get into the good part, which has been the last 5-6 weeks, let's talk about the beginning of the season where wins were kind of hard to come by. You were getting snake bit an awful lot. How much does that weigh on a defense when you're doing everything you can plus to keep the opponents down and still not coming out on top?
You know, it's kind of like, I think I explained it one time in an interview. Like, you remember, I don't know if you guys seen that Derek Carr interview after the game, a close game interview. He was just like, you know, you work so hard in offseason to get those kind of results. It was kind of like that feeling, but I just knew it wasn't going to be that feeling all the way because I had confidence that, you know, we can beat some teams and that we can at least make a run for the playoffs. And obviously we did, and we made it happen. So it's just been great so far. But yeah, I mean, we're on a hot streak right now. We're rolling stuff. We're looking to take it into this Saturday and hopefully, you know, make a championship out of it.
Yeah, you guys are on a kind of a magic carpet ride right now. Prior to week 8, you hadn't won more than one game in a row, and now you're riding a 3-game winning streak with a rematch against a Birmingham team that you guys played a very close game against in week 4.
It's going to be a good game. I mean, you know, they I know they probably have the MVP over in Alex Magoo. As a defense, you know, we were preparing for him. And, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, it's going to be a hard-fought game. It's definitely going to be a game that the world should tune into. I think it's going to be a very, very well game. So I'm just ready and excited for it and just can't wait to get the opportunity to be able to play in the championship.
Talk about the importance of adding a guy like Reuben Foster to what was already an excellent defense, Kavaya.
It was great. You know, he just adds that extra element that we need, the extra veteran kind of mentality because he's played at every level, at the highest level also. So it's just his knowledge he brings, and, you know, also the kind of play style he brings to the defense is just it's kind of that Pittsburgh way. So we love him. And as you can see, this is just the way it's been going. We've been winning and creating a lot of turnover on defense. I think Ray Horton, he just brings a different element to, like, the team as far as, like, our confidence level. He challenges us mentally. Like, in the beginning of the season, he asks us, you know, we have to learn how do you learn and things like that. And, you know, he challenged us as a team. And, you know, he kind of made us better in that aspect of, like, you know, finding what makes us better. So I think our scheme is the same. It's just like I said, man, we just been in it for a year, so we kind of understand the wrinkles in it now. And, you know, we're able to kind of to play with the defense and know what is what, and kind of, you know, just make offenses confused. So it's been the same, but we just been executing at a different level.
You only allowed 17 points to the Birmingham offense last time out. Six of them came on the kickoff return. So a performance like that again might very well lead to a Maulers championship, Kavaya.
Yeah. I mean, we gotta obviously come out and play better than what we did. Possibly hold them to less points than that. You know, it's good to go into that game with. But knowing you gave them your best, and hopefully they know that, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we go come out and get the win.
Good luck to you and the Maulers tonight, Kayava. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kayava Tizzino of the Pittsburgh Maulers joining us on USFL Game Plan. All right, Luke, we're nearing the end of the show. It's pick'em time. What's going to happen in tonight's game? Who do you like? Who do you got?
Well, I expect it to be a close game, but if I had to pick a team, I think I'm going to go with Birmingham. The Stallions have been the best team in the league all year. They were the best team in the league last year, and I think, if anything, they've maybe gotten better as a team. They're deeper. Their quarterback has been on fire. They've got the coach of the year leading them, who led them to the championship last year. They've got an opportunistic defense, good special teams. I just think that they just have too much firepower and too complete of a team for the Maulers to be able to pull off the upset. So I'm going to go with the Stallions pulling this one out, 34-23.
Wow, high score for Birmingham there. I'm a little surprised at that. I think you're probably right in your assessment of this game, Luke. I don't really see it being a blowout. I use their first matchup as the template, and I don't see it being much different than that. It's going to come down to a late field goal. I just get the sense, though, that it is going to be Birmingham who's going to repeat, and I see the final score being a little lower than yours, 27-24. And that's a cap on the season, my friend. I appreciate you spending every week with us, adding your insight to the show. It's been great to have you, and I'm looking forward to another great year next year, Luke.
Absolutely. It's been awesome. It's been a great season of USFL football, and excited to see how it all wraps up.
Luke Miller of the Pro Football Newsroom. That's it for this week's edition of USFL Game Plan. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris. That actually puts a cap on the season as well. I hope you enjoyed this 3 months worth of pregame shows that we have brought to you. We worked really hard on that, and we look forward to doing it again next year right here on this very station. You're listening to USFL Game Plan on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM.